Great, thank you very, very much. Just to start off, I think as we sent in the questions ahead of time, we're interested broadly in your views on the financial crisis, but in particular your views on the role of housing and housing policy in the financial crisis, and your experience while you were the secretary at Housing and Urban Development.
If you'll repeat that, I'm sorry, I didn't get the first one, I got the last one.
So the first one's just your views about the financial crisis and housing in the financial crisis. But I think the easier way to start would be when you first got to Housing and Urban Development. I know it was an important part of the administration's policy was to increase home ownership, in particular for home ownership for minority populations.
Yes.
If you could tell us about those initiatives and how they started and your role in those, that would be a great place to start.
Well, initially what occurred is when we got here, this had been a push not only from our administrations but the previous two administrations, both with Secretary Cuomo and Secretary Cisneros, is to work with the GSEs to try to make sure that they address the issues of low and moderate income efforts to increase home ownership. But at the same time, I think how we might have varied or differed a little bit in the sense is that we wanted to make sure that the persons who were able to acquire those loans would be able to sustain themselves and stay in the homes. As one of the problems we had, as you know, is that once we created Fannie and Freddie, the load for FHA went down quite a bit, and very few people began to use that effort just because of the amount of paperwork that was going on. So we wanted to make every effort to make sure that we address those issues and to try to increase FHA's participation, but also increase the GSE's participation. So and one of the efforts that came out of our principals meeting, in many cases at the White House, was how are we doing with increasing minority participation, specifically blacks and Hispanics.
And when you approached the GSEs with these type of initiatives, what was their response?
It wasn't very positive. They consistently talked about if they increased the minority participation, it would hurt their ability to address the middle market, which we did not agree. And my three previous successors, both Cuomo, Cisneros, and Martinez, did not agree with that. And so we made every effort to try to get them to address that issue. And we consistently did that by setting a number of goals that we wanted them to meet. And in many cases, they would meet the goals at the end of the year, but not the way we wanted them to meet the goals. But they would buy securities and mortgages from Walmart, Washington Mutual, and others. And they met the goals. So even though we might not have agreed how they met the goals in some cases. And when they made efforts to meet the goals and didn't, we evaluated that and came to the conclusion that a good faith effort had been made. And there was no reason to penalize them if a good faith effort. But it was very, very difficult to get them to agree. Now, let me give you a caveat to that. One of the things that occurred when Dan Mudd came in is that Dan did work with us wholeheartedly. The others were not as open and not as amenable to working with us. So I have to give Dan Mudd some kudos on that in the sense that he really made an effort to straighten up the situation.
Just to refer, when you mean the goals, these are specifically the affordable housing goals that Fannie and Freddie require to meet?
Yes, that's it.
One of the interesting things about the 2004 revisions of those goals, which I believe occurred under your stewardship, is that for the first time they were going to be increased annually. So 05, 06, 07, 08 would each have an annual increase as opposed to how they'd been set in the past. Do you remember how that came about?
You know, it's been quite a while. I wish I could tell you. I think that it started about 2002, and from Secretary Martinez, and I think he must have been in one of the principals' meetings because we started really pushing it in 2004. But how it began, I just really can't remember.
Do you remember what the particular pushback might have been from either the GSEs or their allies when you were going to try to strengthen those particular goals?
Yes, they really did not want to do it. I mean, I met with Franklin Raines and I forget the one over at Freddie.
Leland Russell.
Leland, but they were not. They were just not in favor. They just said that we were pushing them too hard, and we felt that clearly these goals were obtainable, and if they would make an effort, they could reach them, and if they didn't, they could come very close to reaching those goals. And they did, on a number of occasions, come very close to reaching those goals.
What was it, simply just pushback from the CEOs, or did you feel sort of a blowback from other constituencies here in D.C., or...?
We got a pushback from the CEOs, but also from Congress. From my perspective, it didn't make any difference whether you were Democrat or Republican. In many cases, we were seen as trying to, in some ways, stop progress for Fannie and Freddie, and that was not our objective, either under Mel Martinez or myself. What we were saying is continue to do what you're doing, but also let's be proactive in trying to address the affordable housing goals at the same time. We didn't see those as diametrically opposed, but in tandem with each other.
When did you realize that the particular method the GSEs were using to reach the goals were going to be problematic?
That I can't. I would have to go back or you would have to go back and talk to our people in the research and development. They came up with that, and that's when we presented it to the GSEs, when we made the argument that that we think these goals are obtainable. That's out of our. I'm not sure who was the assistant secretary at this point in time for the GSE. I mean, let me turn this off just a second, okay? Yes. Good. Yes, I can't talk right now.
Talk to you about the healthy change.
He says he doesn't remember how it started, probably 2002 when Martinez.
I forgot what you asked. I'm sorry.
Let me ask a different question.
I just turned it down so that won't come again.
May I ask a question, please? This is Tom Stanton. Freddie Mac, at one point, I think in 02 or 03, met their housing goals by doing basically a repo transaction with WEMU, where they would basically buy a bunch of loans at the end of the year in order to have them count. I think they were multifamily loans. And then after the year was over and the goals had counted, they would sell them back again.
Yeah, that's true. And we met with them and told them that that was unacceptable. That did occur. And I'm not sure. I think that initially Fannie had tried that, but Freddie Mac was very successful in doing that. And that's when one of the things that came out of the section of research and development that they told us about, also FHA informed us that that was going on. And that's one of the things that we did discuss in a number of our principal meetings. And one of the things I can say is, I might not remember everything, but one of your members, Keith Hendersey, was the person who really served as the coordinator for all of our principal meetings out of the White House.
I wanted to go back to that question of securitization and when securitization emerged as a good, you know, sort of a securitization of non-traditional loans came to be viewed as a good way for Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac to meet the subprime market. Was that something that you believed to be the case? Did you think non-traditional mortgages were a good thing for Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac to get into?
Well, see, my answer to that is, when we talk about the subprime and non-traditional with the GSEs, Fannie and Freddie, I have come to the conclusion that the decision by GSEs to purchase these non-prime loans was motivated, in my mind, more by profit than it had to do with anything else. So I don't think it was necessarily whether we thought it was good or bad. What we said to them is this, that we expect you to use the a, 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 objective criteria in evaluating these non-prime loans, the same as we had said for FHA. That was what I remember us saying.
What kind of criteria do you have in mind?
Well, you'll have to go back. I just don't remember that. We set the criteria out, and I would think that it is still there in FHA and research and development. In fact,
you mean like home purchase goals or underserved areas, that kind of criterion you're talking about?
Yeah, and the affordable housing criteria, yes. But I can't tell you the specifics because I just don't remember. It's been a couple of years, maybe 3 years now.
Thank you. We've got the materials here, and it's hard for us to remember, even though we looked at them yesterday.
Okay.
Now, what would happen to Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac if they came to you and said, we can't meet a goal?
Well, as I said before, I was not, to be very candid with you, I was not very sympathetic initially when Mr. Raines and Mr. Bentley ran, because I didn't think they were making the kind of effort to meet the goals. But I can tell you that when Dan Mudd the one who came in from Boston,
Dick Siren,
I think they made every effort, and when they could not, they came very close, and we were very understanding and very flexible at that point in time, because we really had a 360 degree different working relationship than we had with Mr. Raines and Mr. Bentley. I mean, it was extremely cordial, and they made every effort to address the issues that we had raised.
Well, how do you feel about their performance now?
You know, I have to tell you honestly, I really haven't followed it that much. Once I got out, I have a standard practice that I don't second guess people who precede me. I have the greatest respect for Secretary Donovan, so I would